The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Joy Behar is really mad about those white guys in the Alabama Senate who passed the pro-life bill in an effort to protect babies from being slaughtered in the modern-day Auschwitz for babies, the abortion mills. She thinks they should be sterilized. That is, the senators. She said that would solve the problem. And it's just like a liberal to come up with a solution that isn't. These people would not likely ever seek an abortion. Oh, I'm sorry, I get it. If we sterilize all these white men that are pro-life, well, they could not have any children, and so they wouldn't reproduce because, well, everybody knows that the ideological persuasion is genetic, after all, right? Because this whole abortion thing is about genetics. It's about destroying the black population. Yeah. Margaret Sanger, Hillary's hero, got the eugenics ball rolling with the idea of breeding the blacks out. I did mention she's Hillary's hero. Well, they're being successful. All that worship at the altar of Margaret Sanger, a modern-day Moloch, founder of Planned Parenthood, well, their God seems to be serving them well. Candace Owens reports that the black population growth rate is zero. Stagnant. They're murdering enough babies so that the net increase in the black population is zero. I guess that's the first step for these people. Next, they want to see it going into the negatives. For all the talk about wanting the whites to disappear, you know, what they're really working on is making the black population disappear. It's the most wicked business imaginable. A conspiracy to commit genocide and to provoke the target to do it to themselves. And have you noticed how hate-filled these pro-abort people can be? Behar is one of the latest examples. I'm thinking about hate-filled people on the left, because that's where it's at these days, folks. Candace is right. As evil as white supremacy is, and evil it is, liberal supremacy is even worse, partly because of its erstwhile smiling face. Think about it. How many blacks have been killed by white supremacists in the last, give it 50 years? How many blacks have been killed by liberals promoting policies that encourage abortion among our black population? How about millions? Sure. They, and I mean the libfibbers, promote policies that, as Candace brings out, incentivizes deadbeat dads who impregnate a woman and then leave her to fend for herself, which, of course, encourages, among them, the choice for abortion. How sad. The wave of pro-life sentiment sweeping the land is heartening. Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Utah, and then the latest victory comes from Missouri. A bill passed and was signed into law prohibiting abortions after 8 weeks. Who's taking the lead in this? Republicans. In every case, it's the Republicans. The Republicans took the lead in ending slavery, and now they're taking the lead in ending abortion. Keep praying, fasting and praying, because my friend, the devils propping up this wicked business are strong. They have held their strongholds in our nation for a long time. They are deeply entrenched, I mean, down to the depths of the very soul of our country. But we need to do a sort of national exorcism. You know, we need to bring down these strongholds and cast out these devils. Murdering babies is wicked, and it must be shocking to anyone with normal sensibilities that such a thing could be accepted, encouraged, and even celebrated among some of us. Anyway, you might remember after the latest Colorado shooting went down that I mentioned one of the Columbine wannabes was a tranny, in this case a girl that identifies as a boy, she's 16, and the other's an 18-year-old. We did not know much about him. Well, we learned fairly early on that the tranny was a Christian hater, but we didn't know much about the other guy. Turns out that other fella in this depraved duo has posted anti-Trump and I love Obama sentiments on social media. Oh, yeah. And he likes the devil, too, I understand. Dabbles in the occult. A Satan sympathizer who hates Christians, too, by the way. This is at least the one thing the two had in common. And it's what unites most liberals today, it seems. Joy Behar. You name it, Hillary and her scolding Christians about their resistance to the homosexual agenda, Obama and his obvious disdain for Christians and Christianity, his infamous God and gun clinger statement, you remember it, among other things. It's becoming increasingly clear that the left has become the home of the spirit of Antichrist. Christians are crazy to support that party these days. I mean, it's like Jews supporting the Nazis in Germany back in the day. You're out of your mind to be aligning yourself with the Democrat Party today. Anyway, next segment, I'll continue debunking the myth that Trump is racist. Some have asked whether it's worthwhile to do that. After all, the left will not change their mind, and the Christians are not going to change their mind. So, you know, however, there is a biblical principle that says we ought to give an answer for the faith. We know that the enemies of truth are not necessarily going to receive the answers, but we're supposed to give them anyway. It's like our job, man. Besides, from time to time, a fence sitter hears the truth and, well, gets off on the right side of the fence. Here's a good example illustrating why we need to get our answer out there, circulating among the fence sitters. Whoopi is tired of people starting conversations with Mexicans are murderers and liars. And this was something she said on The View, by the way, recently, and her audience erupted in applause. Really? I'm glad to hear that Whoopi does not like conversations that begin Mexicans are murderers and liars. I wouldn't want to participate in any kind of conversation like that. Perhaps she would be glad to know that certainly no one I know has ever begun a conversation in that way, including Trump, by the way. But she believes that Trump has said things like that because that's what her MSM buds tell her. Now, these are her friends, so she believes them. So those wondering why I'm spending time debunking the definitive list proving Trump is a racist can understand it is important to give an answer to that baseless charge. And a lot of lefties believe it, you know. So when I get back, I'll go forward debunking the Trump is a racist myth. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
The Harry Potter rage and the growing number of young people involved in Wicca testify that paganism is becoming increasingly popular in America. One of the ways pagans appeal to the community for sympathy is by claiming to be a persecuted minority. In fact, some claim that 9 million witches were killed by Christians during the Dark Ages. But here are the facts. First, honest pagans admit this number was fabricated by including the martyrdom of millions of Anabaptist Christians. Historians place the number between 40 and 100,000, and that is certainly a travesty, which brings me to fact number two. Those responsible for these atrocities were themselves a paganized version of Christianity. Anabaptists never participated in this outrageous behavior. And now for fact number three. Pagans failed to mention that it was pagans who persecuted the Christians, nailing them to crosses by the thousands and feeding them to lions, for example. Just thought you'd like to know the facts, courtesy of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy. He has conducted extensive Bible prophecy conferences in America, Russia, Fiji, and Canada, in churches and Bible colleges, and he'll be providing his course in Santa Maria on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. To register, call 805-714-7731. Or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Call 805-714-7731. Or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. So, Trump is a racist? At least according to the left. What proof do they have? Rarely does any lefty bother to cite any. But occasionally they do. And when they do, it's always a spin-off Washington Post's article dated January 15, 2018, which is purported to be the definitive list of Trump's racism, written by David Leonard and Ian Philbrick. And I've addressed all but two of their claims, and so far as I have shown, none of their allegations prove racism, but in fact the reverse is the case. Their own case against Trump actually ends up turning on them and shows them to be the racists. Let's continue on with WAPO's definitive list proving Trump is a racist, denigrating Native Americans. In the 1990s, Trump took out advertisements alleging that, quote, Mohawk Indian record of criminal activity is well documented, end quote. At that time, he was fighting competition for his casino business. And in a 1993 radio interview, he suggested that Native Americans in Connecticut were faking their ancestry. He said, quote, I think I might have more Indian blood than a lot of the so-called Indians that are trying to open up the reservations, end quote. In a November 2017 meeting with Navajo veterans of World War II, Trump mocked Senator Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas. And by the way, that crowd appreciated his statement. Anyway, in the 1990s, Trump was in a tussle with the Native Indians getting into the casino business. At issue was the fact that the Indians were able to get unfair advantages in competition with his own casinos by claiming their special privileges under law as Native Indians. So, where is the racism here? I mean, whatever you might think about Trump's statement, the Mohawk Indian record for criminal activities well documented, it isn't racist. All right? Facts are stubborn things, and very annoying to liberals, by the way. And the fact is, the statement has some basis in fact, right? I mean, there is an extensive record of Mohawks breaking laws of white man, despising the laws of the white man. In fact, some would say, who could blame them? And I'm not suggesting that I do, by the way. That's a different question. That's what I'm going to right now. You see, I'm not weighing in on that question. My personal sentiments are quite strong here. I believe agreements made with the Indians are as binding and valid as any contract in any situation, and it's as evil to break a contract with them as it would be with anybody else. You know, the idea of making a vow and then breaking it is vile to my mind. You know, but think about it. So the Indian says, white man speak with forked tongue, right? And well, that's true. But in my experience, forked tongues can be found in mouths of every race. Nevertheless, these are separate discussions. What Trump said was true. He said it in the context of a complaint against special classes of people getting special treatment and favors that give them a leg up in competition. We can see that as president, he's of the same concern for the whole country. He doesn't like it when the playing field is uneven. Right? He doesn't like it when people take advantage of certain situations and all that. Hence the China trade wars. Now, some say he's sparking a trade war. And somebody else says, well, I don't think so. I think what's happened is the trade war was already going on. Trump just decided to go ahead and stand up and get into it. But once again, you see, that is a separate question. Maybe one we should address on the Brain Massage Show. The issue before us is whether these statements prove he's racist. And of course, the left promotes hypersensitivity to things like this. And if you say anything about Mexicans or blacks or Indians that is in any way negative, you're immediately branded a racist. Which sounds kind of racist to me. It doesn't matter in what context or whether the statement is true. So I don't care for the statement, frankly. I think it's one of those things you say when you're in an argument. And in his case, it was to point out the unfairness of the deal. But I don't think Trump is saying people commit crimes because they're Indians, or that committing crimes is particularly characteristic of being an Indian. So there you go. Once again, we have occasion to point out that only a racist would take his words in that way. You know, the statement was made in frustration against unfair trade practices that are based on race. Because a certain group is of a certain race, therefore they get special favors and all that. So where is the racism in all this? When the Indians refer to whites, derogatorily, by the way, as paleface, we just laugh about it. All right? Yeah, I've talked to some of my black really good friends, and they've commented on how they've noticed white people don't seem to take it the way black people do when stuff like that is said. They're just laughing off. We are paleface. I looked in the mirror recently. Yeah. I mean, it isn't something that is a problem for me. When the Indians refer to us as paleface, it just water off the duck's back. When they say, white man speak with forked tongue, you know what? We think immediately of all the white men that do. Right? Anybody out there paying attention? White man speak with forked tongue. You don't have masses of white people rise up in protest. How dare you speak about all of us? We just assume that everybody making a statement like that has enough intelligence to know they're speaking in hyperbole. They're exaggerating. We know that. We also know there's truth in what they said. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say here? As for defending Trump's casino business, friend, I don't endorse gambling at all. I think it's fool's business. So anyway, next. You see, but they're separate questions. In a 1993 radio interview, Trump suggested that Native Americans in Connecticut were faking their ancestry. Now, see, that's just a lie, what he said right there. He didn't say that all Native Americans in Connecticut were faking their ancestry. That's the kind of stuff that makes us, legitimately angry at the left. This is wicked, evil business, what you're doing here. Here's what Trump actually said. Quote, I think I might have more Indian blood than a lot of the so-called Indians that are trying to open up the reservations, end quote. Well, okay. He might. I'm pretty sure I've got more Cherokee in me than Elizabeth Warren has of whatever it was she was claiming, Choctaw or something like that. It's just a joke. The fact is, some do game the system, don't they? They make claims that are bogus. He was probably right that he said, quote, might have more Indian blood than a lot of the so-called Indians that are trying to open up the reservations. Now, first of all, my friend, this was a business fight about unfair competition that was based on race. So where's the racism? I mean, the real racism here. But to say his statement was racist? Well, only a racist would leap to that kind of conclusion. Only a racist would have that kind of hypersensitivity to these sorts of statements. And more often than not, it's insincere, by the way, this sensitivity. I can't even believe it's... They've got to be smarter than to assume all these statements brand him a racist or come from a racist. It's just nonsense. They know exactly what this is. They also know they can gain sympathy, however, to their side or cause if they play the race card. So they play it. And it's one of those cards they bring to the table, by the way, hidden up their sleeve. Actually, stapled all over them. They're obvious about it. The deck that Trump plays from and the deck I play from doesn't have a race card in it. Finally, on this point, quote, in a November 2017 meeting with Navajo veterans of World War II, Trump mocked Senator Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas. Well, I happen to have looked at that, and those who were in that meeting appreciated his statement. They resented Elizabeth Warren's claim to be Indian. It's just, I tell you, if Elizabeth had a sense of humor, and she might have dressed as Pocahontas next time she came out in public and put it in his face that way. I mean, I'm not sure that would have worked for her, though, because it turns out her claim was totally bogus. I mean, she deserves to be humiliated with that or not. Anyway, once again, does pretending to be Indian when you're not sound a little like racism to you? Using race to gain leverage in a situation? Doesn't that sound like racism to you? Real racism is consistently found on the other side. The article ends with what might be called the miscellaneous category of proofs, other assorted racism. And under that heading, we have a couple of things I unfortunately am not going to have time to get into. But my friend, tomorrow morning during our Bible study time, that begins at 9:30, I'm going to weave into my prophecy class some comments on developments that are taking place right now between America and Iran that have some prophetic implications. In fact, I was asked a little while back what I thought about the interconnections between Trump's presidency and prophecy. And I've been watching it, you know, from that perspective, with that interest for some time now. And I've got some observations I want to lay out for you in our Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30. And then at 10:45, of course, we have our regular preaching time, and I'll be continuing our series, Know Your Bible Insights. And then come around Sunday night, we'll be continuing our series on which Bible. You know, I got all these versions out there. It's almost overwhelming. If you care whether or not the version you're reading is really true to the originals, quote unquote, then you'll want to get in on this series of messages, and that begins at 5 o'clock on Sunday night. And then on Wednesdays, we're continuing our study of spiritual gifts, and many of you are finding that to be very interesting. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America, and I'll see you in church. And by the way, go online, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net, and you can get a whole archive of past Brain Massage shows that you can listen to and learn from, and then share with your friends. Again, God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. Folks, remember, if you want to really grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, you cannot find a better place than right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria. Sunday morning at 9:30, I'm offering a comprehensive study of prophecy. And I mean comprehensive. Every prophetic passage in the Bible will be laid out for you, and you'll have a totally biblical knowledge of these subjects, so these yahoos can't jerk you around with their phony predictions anymore.
Go to SantaMariaLighthouse.org. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
The Harry Potter rage and the growing number of young people involved in Wicca testify that paganism is becoming increasingly popular in America. One of the ways pagans appeal to the community for sympathy is by claiming to be a persecuted minority. In fact, some claim that 9 million witches were killed by Christians during the Dark Ages. But here are the facts. First, honest pagans admit this number was fabricated by including the martyrdom of millions of Anabaptist Christians. Historians place the number between 40 and 100,000, and that is certainly a travesty, which brings me to fact number two. Those responsible for these atrocities were themselves a paganized version of Christianity. Anabaptists never participated in this outrageous behavior. And now for fact number three. Pagans failed to mention that it was pagans who persecuted the Christians, nailing them to crosses by the thousands and feeding them to lions, for example. Just thought you'd like to know the facts, courtesy of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy. He has conducted extensive Bible prophecy conferences in America, Russia, Fiji, and Canada, in churches and Bible colleges, and he'll be providing his course in Santa Maria on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. To register, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Call 805-714-7731. Or go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Joy Behar is really mad about those white guys in the Alabama Senate who passed the pro-life bill in an effort to protect babies from being slaughtered in the modern-day Auschwitz for babies, the abortion mills. She thinks they should be sterilized. That is, the senators. She said that would solve the problem. It is just like a liberal to come up with a solution that isn't. These people would not likely ever seek an abortion. Oh, I'm sorry, I get it. If we sterilize all these white men that are pro-life, well, they could not have any children, and so they wouldn't reproduce because, well, everybody knows that the ideological persuasion is genetic, after all, right? Because this whole abortion thing is about genetics. It's about destroying the black population, yeah. Margaret Sanger, Hillary's hero, got the eugenics ball rolling with the idea of breeding the blacks out. I did mention she's Hillary's hero. Well, they're being successful. All that worship at the altar of Margaret Sanger, a modern-day Moloch, founder of Planned Parenthood, well, their God seems to be serving them well. Candace Owens reports that the black population growth rate is zero, stagnant. They're murdering enough babies so that the net increase in the black population is zero. I guess that's the first step for these people. Next, they want to see it going into the negatives. For all the talk about wanting the whites to disappear, you know, what they're really working on is making the black population disappear. It's the most wicked business imaginable. A conspiracy to commit genocide and to provoke the target to do it to themselves. And by the way, go online, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. And you can get a whole archive of past brain massage shows that you can listen to and learn from and then share with your friends. Again, God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Tune in Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 7 a.m.